This is Encounters, a dialogue that brings you multifaceted life stories you don't want to miss.
I think a good film is often generated from a good idea or a theme. Sometimes we see films that once we finish the film, we don't know what they're talking about and what they want to convey. I think it's not really a film. So for me, I often start with a theme and idea, and then I try to create characters that would help me in telling this story and deliver the emotion of it. And then we come to setting up the plot. That's probably kind of the workflow in my mind. I think a good film has its artistic side, and also it could be commercially successful. You can't be just expressing yourself and nobody really understands. So I think I would choose to try to merge this whole thing and to make a good film that has its artistic value, but also could sell to the audience. I'd say we are closing the gap, and there are more and more good quality films that get produced in China, but it's not enough. I think what we've learned from Hollywood is the experience and the screenwriting skills and techniques. If we could combine that with our Chinese culture, we would be able to make a lot of very profound content because we have the culture. Well, film is not, you know, it's not like food or anything, but it's still a very essential part of entertainment in people's life. It's more than watching a video, you know, it's more of an experience, more of a social occasion that could bring people together. So I don't think it would fade away. I think it would grow, I hope.
Hello and welcome to Encounters. I'm your host, Man Ling. In today's program, I continue my conversation with the Chinese director, Cui Rui. Rui did a double degree in digital media arts and TV production in his undergraduate years at Communication University of China. After he graduated, he moved to Los Angeles to get some exposure to the Hollywood movie-making machine. He's tried combining Chinese stories with Hollywood screenwriting techniques in his films, making the most of what he learned from growing in China and studying in the United States. This multicultural life journey has led him to pay more attention to themes like self-identity, culture, and sense of belonging. Our conversation begins on the topic of Rui's short film, To Pimp a Butterfly, which he co-wrote, directed, and produced. The setting for the film is Chinatown in Los Angeles. It tells the story of how an Asian American teenager manages to mend his broken bond with his mother when he finds out what she really does for a living. Stay with us.
Tell me the idea, why you write the story.
Because this was my thesis film, I wanted to explore a thesis that could speak for us, speak for Chinese American or Asian American, because a lot of people see Chinese people go abroad or go to the U.S. for the luxury life, but it's actually not true. There are a lot of immigrants that they live in poverty, they suffer from life. They were also going for their American dream, but the reality was a lot less than the expectation. So I wanted to make a film, tell story about Asian Americans and how they fight for their American dream.
Do you send out or give people hope to through that piece? Or do you want to discourage people from going abroad?
I didn't have that intention. I didn't want to, you know, encourage people or stop people, because you have to choose your own life, and this is just a reflection of
the reality.
And I want people to pay more attention to people who are struggling in their pursuit of an honest and ethical life in the U.S. or in a mixed culture environment.
There are a lot of people succeeded in pursuing the American dream, but the pimp the butterfly is the mother and son still struggling. But at the end of the movie, do you give this mother and son some hope? Or the viewers like us watching that small piece, can we see hope of their future existence?
The movie has kind of an open ending, but it's also directional because at the end of the movie, you see the mother is ready to make a change in her life. The son had to take on the action to save his mother and make an impact on the mother. So yeah, it's definitely a hopeful ending.
The ending is that we're going to find a solution to come out of this quagmire. How many awards has this piece gained for you? Altogether, seven, eight, domestically and internationally?
Mostly, domestically in the US and also internationally. Well, I really can't count, but there was a bunch.
Give us three or two most prominent awards this little piece has won you.
Well, firstly, it received the Panavision New Director grant prior to the production start that also helped us make the film because we used all the Panavision cameras and the equipment, which are the most advanced ones. After the completion of the film, it was the opening film of the Los Angeles International Film Festival and also won the Best Actress on in that festival. Later on, we won Best Director and Best Short Film in Global Short. It's a very well-known international film festival for short films. And we also won the China-US Film Festival of Young Cinema. The title was Best Director. It was also the best film at Indie Fest in the US. We also won Best Drama in Asian Song Film Festival.
It's well known among professionals, but not to ordinary audiences because it's not a commercial one, right? But it's a piece of just production, a professional production, a small one. Okay, this one, the Pimp the Butterfly, involve only one co-writer, but everything else is done by yourself, right? And what about another small piece in 2017, Free Choice? Is that your work completely, including screenplay, producing, directing?
Well, I directed and produced the movie. The writer is my key collaborator, Josh Liebman. We made it together.
You call it a genre film? It's a crime?
It is a crime mystery. Mystery. Film, I think, yeah.
I saw it, but I didn't see the sci-fi part of the film. Can you help me to understand?
The sci-fi part is kind of engraved in the concept. It's not a broad sci-fi film where you see spaceships and you know, other planets. But the idea itself is a sci-fi idea. So there's also a lot of sub-genres in each of the genres, especially sci-fi. So this story happened in the near future where in private prisons that people are testing out the solution with prisoners and decide who can get freedom. So the idea is a sci-fi. Of course, there is also a little bit visual sci-fi element in it.
Okay, the idea is, it's not the technical part sci-fi, like fancy spaceships flying everywhere, huh? Okay, and then what sort of awards has this one gained you, Free Choice?
This film is ultimately not for festival, it's more commercial actually. So there weren't a lot of awards or festival that applied to this kind of film. So it won audience award at Holly Short, which is the largest short film festival in Hollywood. Water Drop Award in granted by the China Science Fiction Association. Yeah.
So obviously, Banana Pictures give you a second place in 2018 for the competition. And also Water Drop, Sci-Fi Fiction Association. These are the Chinese film committees. And then they're encouraging directors like you to make movies of similar themes in the future by sponsoring you and giving you the money.
Yeah, well, I think there are a lot of film companies trying to spot young talent, young directors. They are definitely the future for Chinese film industry.
Do you want to go sci-fi in the future?
Well, I think that could also answer another question, because for me, I think a good director would have the quality to be able to direct films in different genres, not only one, because directing is a very comprehensive job. You have to have the understanding of different story, different ideas. So if you can only direct one genre film, that doesn't make you a good director.
Let's talk about another one. I think the one Spring Flower. You got heavy. You are the producer of that movie, right?
Yes.
And you're the script writer of that movie?
I was also the co-writer.
You're the co-writer. Spring Flower. That was the one, my understanding is, that was the one who won you the top award, Oscars?
Yeah, that was the winner of the 45th Student Oscar Best Picture.
Are you proud of yourself?
I am very proud of this movie, and I'm very proud of the director, and she's also one of my most important collaborators.
Director of the movie, Chong Hua, right?
Right.
Is she your classmate?
Yes.
And what is the story about?
It's about, you know, it's more of in the rural part of China that women are suffering from forced marriage. So it's the same.
Do you think it's still going on, the forced marriage?
It is.
It's based on the reality of life, right? You're trying
yes.
to depict the real society.
Yeah.
And because I didn't see the movie, so I don't know, at the end, what sort of message you try to send out?
You know, made this film is for those girls who get forced into marriage, and we definitely encourage them to be brave and to get out from what they don't want and go for their own life. All people are equal, and they all have the same right to decide who they are and what they want to be.
So Spring Flower has won the Student Academy Award.
Right.
And also winner of DGA Student Film Award, right? Okay, let's talk about some, you co-produced or co-executive produced one big blockbuster movie called Midway 2019. How did you get this co-producing job?
Because I had the, you know, experience to work in Hollywood, and this movie was also partially funded by Chinese sponsors. And I was just lucky to have the chance to work with director Roland Emmerich.
From this experience by co-working and co-producing, how much you have learned from the Western or the Hollywood...
During the production, I was mostly shadowing the director. So, and of course, I provided him with my creative ideas and suggestions. It was more about learning, because he's a very renowned director and he's so-called the disaster master.
Disaster so, master.
Okay. Yeah, master yeah. of disaster films. Well, Midway was a war movie, but it has so many different elements and it's a very complex film to operate in the production. So I definitely learned a bunch, both in the directorial side and the production side.
Both directorial and production side. Can you be more specific?
Directorial Emmerich is more, his strength is on visual effects. That was my knowledge before I started to work with him. But once we started the work and I got to know he's also a very good storyteller and he's also a writer. So I came to learn that, well, one good director can have many good qualities and you're not limited to just only one. So that also just encouraged me to further exploit myself and see what I can do. And on site, I did a lot of different work. I worked in the visual effect unit and with the visual effects supervisor, and we used very advanced technologies like NCAM, which we shot most of the image in studio and with blue screen, but we could actually see the final results right away. So the director could make his decision based on this temporary composition of image. It was just technically and creatively very advanced. And I was very excited to learn this kind of thing because I'm also a very technical person. And once I had this knowledge, I could probably use it in my future work. So that was very memorable.
When you made suggestions, did he take it easily?
Well, most people I work with are very open-minded. They would listen and they would think and take it in and make their decision. They wouldn't say no right away, but you would sense the change in the movie.
Okay. If your suggestion is logic and also makes sense, definitely right. They're going to listen and take it, right? So in summary, your first movie or film you made actually out of school is Trista, right? And then Free Choice to Pimp a Butterfly is kind of very different genres of movie. One is more artistic kind of drama, and the other is the a crime mysterious one. I wonder, how do you choose your stories? When you observe something or an idea appeared in your mind, you start to write, or you look for stories from other script writers and start to work on them?
I think a good film is often generated from a good idea or a theme. Sometimes we see films that once we finish the film, we don't know what they're talking about and what they want to convey. I think it's not really a film. So for me, I often start with a theme and idea, and then I try to create characters that would help me in telling this story and in deliver the emotion of it. And then we come to setting up the plot. That's probably kind of the workflow in my mind.
Sometimes it's the idea or picture comes to your mind. Which one happens more frequently?
I think a good director should be a good storyteller and also a good visualizer. So most of the time, the idea comes to my mind.
As a picture?
Yes.
Very good. Okay, I have a big question for you. Be prepared. Between artistic expression and self-identity, I think as a director, you're going to come up with your own brand name and your own identity. You know, whenever in the future, I mean, whenever people mention your name, Cui Rui, they must be think of a series of productions that you have made. Artistic expression, the expression of what's on your mind, be it visual ideas or something else. And there's also the commercial film thing. It's the popularity and the money making, the profit. So these two things sometimes are conflicting or contradictory. When like Jia Zhangke director, he has chosen to be more sort of artistic and he sticks to his way of expressing his ideas in movies. Mm-hmm. And he thinks less about profit making and being popular and then commercial side of things. But we have also seen in Chinese film industry, directors like Zhang Yimou and Chen Kaige, these people are trying to combine these two and find their position in both. So my question for you as a, you know, future, you know, emerging director, how would you choose and how are you going to choose? Which one is more important, to express yourself or to make money first or make your name well known first? How do you balance the two?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a
very
a
big question.
Balancing and merging the two sides of it. And also, I think artistic films and commercial films, so to speak, is they are kind of a classification that only China has. Because in where I learned film, that we don't talk about it that way. I think a good film has its artistic side and also it could be commercially successful. So for me, I did shoot short films. Short films are not meant for commercial, like theatrical release or anything. They were mostly distributed through festivals and in televisions and networks. But I shot them because I also think they have commercial value and they could probably be helpful for me to present my work and to show my capability of doing a full-length commercial film. And also, of course, I got involved in some of the biggest commercial films. So I think, I mean, essentially, film is a format of entertainment, and it has to be accessible for audience. You can't be just expressing yourself and nobody really understand. So I think I would choose to, you know, follow those names that you said to try to merge these two things and to make a good film that has its artistic value, but also could sell to the audience.
Okay, my understanding, what I get from your answer is that short films are not your long-term sort of target, but they are there to prepare you for
right, short
success.
Films are kind of, it's also like a stepstone, because when you were in school, you are not be able to make
produce big ones.
Super film, because that's for your more like a, you could say it's exercise, or it's, you know, more for the learning experience. You know, you experience it and you more likely experiment it. You know, you would figure out what you are good at, and then you probably follow the path.
So your definition for a good movie is artistically, with artistic expression at the same time, commercial success. That is achievable, right?
If you find the most well-known films in the world, like Life is Beautiful, it's very artistic, but it's also commercially successful. And there you could find many films in that way. And I think those are the real good films.
Yes, indeed. And also The Crouching
Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Yeah,
yeah,
that's correct.
That's one of the Chinese-made sort of a film which combines these two, right? One is artistic and the other is audience. But let's talk about, there are still, like the name I mentioned, Jia Zhangke. Let's talk about targeted audience, because successful movies, like you said, which combines these two, actually they can reach people. I want to say that you are a communicator, because the university you went to is for the communication, University of China.
That doesn't make a good communicator. But
I know, you try to be, right? You try to communicate with people through films. And then can I assume that your targeted audience is the masses instead of the niche audience? Only a small, you know, minority of people who can understand the so-called very artistic movie.
Well, I think my intention is to reach as many audience as I could. With certain genres of film, or like every film, you have different character to follow, but you try to reach more audience. There are audience that could relate to the character, and it's probably a small group. But you also tell the story that could be understandable for the general audience as well. So we make film for audience, so the more, the better, definitely.
Okay, so you're targeting the majority of the people, the masses, trying to communicate. Next section, we're going to talk about this, try to compare different filmmaking industries and cultures. Let me put it directly, that Chinese film market, we have a huge market for different kind of films, for films from Europe, Japan, South Korea, Bollywood, Hollywood, you know, it's just such a huge market. But it seems to me that we are the consumers instead of producers. Mm-hmm. So why there is such a huge gap, and how are we going to narrow this? We can just make a tipping sort of turn, maybe sometime later, you know, when, that we can to change the situation, that we can produce content too, at the same time we consume good movies. So you were raised in China and you study in the United States. Are you confident that we're going to close the gap between these two?
I'd say we are closing the gap. And there are more and more good quality films that get produced in China, but it's not enough, because we have a very large population and we have a very large market. And we are, like you said, we are right now the number two consumers of film, and then we're going to be number one. It would be embarrassing that if we are the number one film market, but we are always consuming and people are admiring films from other countries, like foreign films. I think essentially the gap is because we still haven't set up a standard that would help our creators to create films in the long run. That, well, most of the time you would see a good film come out, but it's unacceptable, and unacceptable films also come out at the same time. So the standard isn't quite clear. We have to be able to produce creative work you know, we have to keep doing it. And for doing that, we have to set up a workflow that can help writers to write creative ideas within structure, within a tested structure, and it can help creative ideas to be put onto the screen and in a professional way. In that way, we can be able to keep pushing out good quality films. I think what we've learned from Hollywood is the experience and the screenwriting skills and techniques. If we could combine that with our Chinese culture, we would be able to make a lot of very profound content because we have the culture.
Chinese film industry has been there for decades and decades. I think the modern one since 1949, New China was founded. We have an industry, but we don't have an industrialized film industry.
Right.
I think universities in the United States is the best known to channel the research on campus, what knowledge learned on campus into reality, into production. It's a channel. It's like assembly line. Like you said, in the Chinese industry, we have good writers, we have good directors, we have producers. But to put them together, connect them quickly to the market. So what is lacking? Why China hasn't been able to establish such an industry? Like a Bollywood, Hollywood, and like a South Korean, it's like a mass production, manufacturing. You're producing things, you go through the same procedures, and then it's just mass produced. But we haven't got one.
I think it's a huge question, and I think you would probably get different answers from people in different positions. I'm not in a position to really judge the Chinese film industry because I'm just a young director and I just came back from a different environment. I'm still trying to adapt myself into it. But just from my perspective, I think being open-minded is the most important thing. And we could see our neighbor countries, like you said, like Korea, like even like India, like Japan, they've already kind of set up their brand of their film industry and their film had went on across the world. That's all because they were open to new concept, new workflow, and new directors came back from, let's say, Hollywood and US film schools, because they would be able to handle the most advanced workflow in the production and be able to deliver creative ideas in a tested fashion that already proved correct in the market or in different parts of the world. It's also a question of just balancing it out, because in each area, there are always people that wanted to stick to the old rule and they wouldn't let the newcomers perform easily. So that's also the fact.
Open-minded to embrace everything new. You have learned and you have brought back some of the definitely experiences. And
well, I'm not only speaking for myself, you know. It's just,
I know.
You know, I'm speaking for my generation of young filmmakers who wanted to make a difference.
I think COVID-19 is still raging globally. Mm-hmm. Although China has put it basically under control. But before mankind, to create the vaccine, it's still unpredictable what sort of impact it's going to make on the whole humankind. But talking about cinemas and film industry, it has a huge impact on it because cinemas are being closed globally and the filmmakers are not making films because we are all staying at home. Maybe screenwriting is not going to be affected, but directing and making movies, shootings, these are definitely going to be postponed at least, and when to start is still a question. I want to know that what sort of impact has it on you already and globally and domestically here in China?
Well, it's definitely a really horrible influence. And my movie was going into production that was also postponed, and we don't know when we can actually resume the work. But on the other hand, that we got the time to kind of accumulate more ideas and the scripts. So for myself, I've been mostly focusing on writing, and I've written a couple of scripts during the pandemic.
How many scripts are you writing at the same time?
Preferably, I would write one at a time, but there sometimes are assigned jobs that you have to complete, but for my own creation, I had two scripts completed during this pandemic, and hopefully I couldn't see that I would be able to make them anytime soon, but it would be, you know, just in my laptop, and I'll probably be able to put them into use once there are opportunities that comes along.
Actually, you cannot predict what kind of impact it's going to make on China's movie industry, right? Everybody losing money, not making money.
I guess so. I don't know anybody making money, but I know, yeah.
A lot of people are losing money.
True.
And do you worry?
Worry about what? Money.
The future.
Well, I think this pandemic has been quite cruel and long, but if you see the long human history, it's just a very little slice. So I worry, of course, for now and for probably, I mean, the present and the near future. But I don't worry in general because I know it will get cleared up. And also, even in the film industry, we have been thinking about ways in production to protect ourselves from it. So I think there will be good solutions.
So you are confident that the film industry in the long run can bounce back? And you have...
Yeah, I think it's... film is not, you know, it's not like food or anything, but it's still a very essential part of entertainment in people's life. And when you need to go out and relax yourself or, you know, you get onto a date or, you know, you social with people, it's quite important. It's also very affordable format of entertainment as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think it will grow in the long run for sure.
If the COVID-19 is going to be pending for quite long and then everything is being moved to online, going your field, like digital, do you think you are switching or you're considering making your movies and then put it online instead of, you know, going release them in cinemas?
Yeah, I think I've already been doing that, and everybody had to adapt and switch to the internet format of deliverables. Well, we all missed the screen for sure, but you still have to tell stories, you still have to make things for the audience, and you have to make sure they're able to see it.
Is the special effect like acoustics and special effects the same online with cinemas? Definitely, you have to compromise. You don't need to make so professional things when you release them online, right?
Yeah, the quality could be compromised, but we see people trying to, if you see things online, you would probably notice that the visual and the technique has been updated.
Also upgraded. With the 5G, 6G, and 7G come out, maybe family cinemas in the future.
Well, you know, by certain time, I think it probably would reach the quality that, you know, you could see in cinema. So we don't want to compromise on qualities.
By that time, when the technology can reach that level, do you think all cinemas will be disappeared?
I don't think so. I think it's an occasion that it's more than watching a video. You know, it's more of an experience, more of a social occasion that could bring people together. So I don't think it would fade away. I think it would grow, I hope.
It's like a theater, right? Cinema, like theaters, never die. And you mentioned during our conversation that China has long history, rich culture, that we can use it as themes to create good movies, right? What specifically are they? Sometimes I'm thinking about Shiji. Sometimes I'm thinking about Monkey King. Really good sort of stuff. And even ghost stories, Fengshen, right? We have so many good, but why we haven't come up with big blockbusters that can sell to, you know, international audience? Do you have ideas that maybe one day you can dig into what is in our blood and then try to make it a language that other people, not just the Chinese people, but other people can also understand?
I think, like I said, we are really rich on the cultural side, but we are lack of the language, the cinematic language. But I think we're on the way. Like some of the names that you mentioned, like Fengshen is already, I think, got produced as a TV show, and it's going to get this movie out very soon too. So it just needs time, it needs process, and I would be honored to be one of the the filmmakers to further develop those content. And hopefully we'll be able to put them onto big screen in front of an audience.
We have a fairy tale, a legendary story like Ne Zha. You know, everybody knows, right? the little fairy spirit, Nerda's story. I think we have artistic cartoon films when in the 70s, which sell. It actually exported to Russia, to many neighboring Japan, you know, these countries, Asian countries, very successful. And now recently they were made into Nerda, I Am My Own Destiny, which is, like you said, the universal film language, use the universal Hollywood or film production, you know, artistic language, which sounds quite good, I think quite successful. So it's the old story content remade, and you want to be part of the whole process in the future.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm talking about like the bigger picture. I wasn't going into certain projects or certain content, but you don't know. And sometimes it finds you, and sometimes you go out to find the content. So it's just very flexible and unpredictable industry.
Okay, so you want to be ready, and then these good projects will come to find you, right?
I hope so.
Okay, final question is your short-term, medium-term, and long-term plans.
Okay, short-term, I'm turning into 30 this year, so I think it's important year for, I mean, within the Chinese culture, and I hope I could make something that would last. I would help to direct my first feature film, and I hope this film be successful in the market, and also set up my directorial style in front of the audience as well. Well, in the long run, of course, keep making films and keep inspiring. It's just that simple.
Inspire people, not just Chinese people, but also international audience, right?
Yeah, everybody.
So you're on the way of making that happen.
I am trying.
There is a Chinese saying, San Shi Er Li. It means that people need to be able to stand on their own 2 feet and find their place in the world by the age of 30. Ray turns 30 at the end of August, and he says he's clear and confident about the direction of his career. This young man, who represents a new generation of open-minded and inventive Chinese filmmakers, says he will keep striving towards his goal of making films that can inspire a wide audience. And that's the end of our show. I'm Manling. Thank you for joining me. Be sure to visit chinaplus.cri.cn and look for Encounters, where you will find other episodes of the show along with Manling's journals about our interviews.